Alright, am I on? I'm on. Whew, it's a little hot. Well, I'm John. I'm one of the elders here. And like he said, we're going to be talking about Daniel 8. I'm going to back up a little bit. But I like moving around up front. No? Okay, Andy says no. Well, in that case, I'm going to move this. Ooh. All right, we good? All right. Sorry, I'm also a nurse at the Ashland Hospital, so I get so used to wearing masks, I don't even think about it. And this cool breeze called air on my face, I'm not used to it, so I forget. So, is that better? We're good? All right. Let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you would open our ears. Open my ears to what you would have me say. And I thank you for your Spirit's movement even before I started thinking about what to listen to and what to say, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this, Daniel 8, I'm going to call this one Focus and Distraction. Topic that I have had years to struggle with. But it's also something that I think we're all really, really familiar with given the pandemic, given the election. No matter what side you're on or what theory you ascribe to or whichever, I think we're all familiar with focus and distraction. And so I am going to read out of Daniel 8. I'm going to read the first half, which is the first 14 verses. In the third year of King Belshazzar's reign, I, Daniel, had a vision after the one that had already appeared to me. In my vision, I saw myself in the citadel of Susa in the province of Elam. And in the vision, I was beside the Ulai Canal. All right, so we have the place. I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns. Not so unusual yet. Standing beside the canal, and the horns were long, and one of the horns was longer than the other, but grew up later. Okay, we're getting a little strange here, perhaps. I watched the ram as it charged toward the west and the north and the south, and no animal could stand against it, and none could be rescued from its power. It did as it pleased and became great. Okay, we're still kind of there. As I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat. I'm just going to make a t-shirt that just says, suddenly, a goat. I think the youth group could make a lot of money off of that, right? Okay, we're getting distracted, see? With a prominent horn between its eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. We got some Air Jordan stuff going on here. It came toward the two-headed ram I had seen standing beside the canal and charged at it in great rage. I saw it attack the ram furiously, striking the ram and shattering its two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against it. The goat knocked it to the ground and trampled on it. Kind of did a little dance. And no one could rescue the ram from its powers. The goat became very great. But at the height of its power, the large horn was broken off, and in its place, four prominent horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven. Okay, so we're starting to get a little stranger. Are you distracted yet? Out of them came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and the east and the west toward the beautiful land. It grew until it reached the host of heavens, and it threw some of the starry host down to the earth and trampled on them again. There's a lot of trampling here. It set itself up to be as great as the commander of the army of the Lord. It took away the daily sacrifice from the Lord. And his sanctuary was thrown down because of rebellion. The Lord's people and the daily sacrifices were given over to it. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. I think both sides were saying that in this election. Are you distracted yet? Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to him, "How long will it take for the vision to be fulfilled? This vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion, the causes of desolation, the surrender of the sanctuary and the trampling underfoot of the Lord's people. He said to me, okay, so now we have the, he's in the conversation now. It will take 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary will be reconsecrated. Where's your focus on this story? I mean, I'm seeing some goat videos on YouTube to maybe reenact this. You know, you'd have to have some CGI for the horns, perhaps. I have no idea how you'd know which way the horns are growing, except when I have dreams, I just tend to know things. Oh yeah, that one's going to the south, east, west. I think we can have a lot of fun, and I kind of initially, I started going, okay, what does this prophecy mean? And you start thinking, okay, is it this president? Is it that president? Is it this kingdom? Is it the Romans? Are we talking about the Greeks? I went, okay, hang on. The next section is called the interpretation of the vision. And I went, oh, okay. I went down the Google rabbit hole and I spent several days just kind of looking at this. And I know the youth group has gone over this chapter and they were discussing possibilities. Like, that sounds fantastic. There's no way I can do better than that. And my focus just drifted. While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice from the Ulai calling, Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision. Fantastic! I don't have to preach on this. We're just going to read the second half and we're going to know what it is. And I thought, hang on. I think I hear Robert Key's voice in my ear. Hasn't he been talking about prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit? Well, if they're going to give us the answer in here, then I think we can get a more general understanding of perhaps visions. And I'm generally one who, throughout most of my life, has been skeptical of visions in particular, or prophecy in general. Skeptical as in not believing, but I'm a bit more like Thomas. I want to see the nail holes before I drink the Kool-Aid, you know? And I heard Robert saying, number one, we know who's giving the interpretation. Gabriel. You guys remember Gabriel? It's the same Gabriel that's in the New Testament. He's also known as the Archangel of Revelation. He doesn't always give pleasant news. You think he's talking to Mary? Hey, you're blessed! And by the way, you're pregnant. Fear not was a big one. And he didn't say that just because it was fun to say. He was saying it because it was fearful stuff that he was saying. And like I said, I'm generally skeptical about prophecy and visions, except that I've had a few. There have been two or three very specific instances. One in high school in particular, and one while I was working at the Mansfield Hospital. And they kind of freaked me out. I had them in a dream, and then the Lord woke me up and said, you need to go talk to this person that was in this. And I went, okay. So when that happens, you have to realize, one, who is the person telling you to do this? Is it some angel Moroni in the middle of a forest telling you to dig up gold tablets with a secret, hidden North American revelation of something? No, here we have Gabriel. Now, Gabriel didn't speak to me in my visions, but I also had people that I knew and trusted within the church, and I also had read scripture as much as I could in high school. So you have those three things. Is it a trusted figure? Is it something that you can confirm with somebody you know and trust? Is it consistent with the scripture we have? In this case, yes. So the first point I want to make is prophecy in general has to be true. And it has to be confirmed. Now it doesn't have to be public, because in Revelation 10, you'll remember John the Revelator. It's a good song by Phil Keaggy. Anyways, where should I focus here? He is shown these great things that the thunder is going to say to him, and they say, wait, don't write that down. Oh, and by the way, here's another thing. You're going to take the scroll and you're going to eat it, and it's going to be sweet and bitter, but no one's really going to know. It's just for you. But Daniel here is talking about a public prophecy. So as he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. Son of man, he said to me, understand that the vision concerns the time of the end. Okay? When he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep and my face to the ground. Okay? I'm not sure how you realize that. But then it says, then he touched me and raised me to my feet. The second thing you're going to see about prophecy, and you're going to see this in Daniel, is that words from God will promote life. They will promote truth. Now, that life might be promoted by pruning. And I think there's been a lot of confusion and distraction, maybe in advertisements. Say, if it isn't nice, it's not life. If it's not personally beneficial to me, then it's not good. I think that's a distraction, is it not? That's a very self-centered focus, is it not? But here you see that the one that appeared like a man touches him and raises him to his feet. He brings him, in the New Testament you hear a lot, those that have fallen asleep. You could say that he's dead, either inside metaphorically or physically, but either way you have almost a resurrection when God is involved and he touches him and he brings him up. He dignifies the life of Daniel here. So that's the second point. Prophecy promotes life. And the first point of truth. He said, the two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. Okay, I got that. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece. And the large horn between its eyes is the first king. Okay, I got that. The four horns that replace the one that was broken off represent four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation, but will not have the same power. Great. Got it. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a fierce-looking king, a master of intrigue, will arise. Okay, so this is where you get a lot of the speculation. Didn't he just tell us it's the king of Persia and Media? But then we're going to say, oh, I don't know, was that the Russians? Wait, nope, the Russians are gone. Wait, no, Putin's back. No, okay. Was this Al-Qaeda? No, Al-Qaeda was gone. Now Al-Qaeda's back. But here's... I'm just going to say that at the general statement that sin is caused by a wrong focus. Sin in itself is the effect of distraction from the truth, which is what? It's Christ. So here, the vision is going to refocus him real quick. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. Okay, we were focused on the goats and the trampling. I know it's a horrible scene, being trampled by this huge goat and humiliated, but that's not the focus. The focus here is it was not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy those who are mighty, the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior, and when they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the Prince of Princes. And we pivot the focus. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. We had that whole vision, very visceral vision, very powerful vision, very true vision. But where was our focus? Will we panic or will we pray, like Bob said? I didn't have that in my original notes. I scribbled that down. So we focus on Christ, and in 1 Corinthians 12, he says this, therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God said Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's not by the king. It's not by any other person. Therefore, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everything is the same God at work. Your focus was on the ram. Your focus was on the goat. Where should you be focused? What does prophecy do with that focus? The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given to you is true, but seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future. I, Daniel, was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days. I won't say that was the case with the visions I had, the dreams. But there was one in particular that I've already shared about several times here at this church, that I held on to it and did not share it for fear. I was told to, but I didn't. And that wore me out. I saw this person every day, and every day I saw him, the Lord said, "Where is your focus? Because right now it's on yourself." And I was exhausted. Now, I don't think Daniel was sinful or withheld this prophecy. I don't think it was the same situation. So I'm just telling you where the exhaustion could come from. But then he says this really funny thing, and I love when a story ends with what we in the West would call almost a non sequitur. So the story ends, "Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding." What? He has this glorious vision. This thing that has, I mean, you could debate this. I'm sure there's been whole books written about this vision. And Daniel simply says, "I was exhausted afterwards, so I went back to work and did what I was supposed to do in the civil community, and I have no idea. It was beyond understanding." What? So, when you're living life, and we talked about this during the discipleship training school with the teens, and they talked about it later, they were at the absolute mountaintop. Some of them were having prophetic words. There was prayer going all over the place. I was worn out afterwards. Now that's a distraction. And then they went back to normal life. Wow, that can't be right. I want to be on the mountaintop. And I think Daniel right here is affirming that everyday life is not trivial. Everyday life is not the other stuff that goes on when you're not on the mountaintop. Right. He had this revelation. He wrote it down. Maybe it wasn't even for him, because the angel says, "Seal this up. This is about the distant future." So it may not even pertain to him. It may not impact him. It may have nothing to do with his day-to-day life, but his day-to-day life has everything to do with God's kingdom and what he was put on this world to do. And that is to what? Keep your focus on Christ. Keep your focus off the goats and the ram, although they're there. Take note of them, I guess. If it speaks to you, if you have to eat that bitter yet sweet, or I guess it was a sour scroll, it soured his stomach, but it was sweet, then that's for you. If it's to give to somebody, then you have to walk in obedience. If it's for somebody else, you also have to walk in obedience and realize it's for someone else. But then, God has given you your life to live. He has given you your job to do. He has given you the relationships that you are in. And that is not trivial. Keep your focus on Christ. Share what he has. So that's really ultimately what I've got for Daniel 8. And some questions went out yesterday for your Circle Church groups. I can also post those questions on the kind of tag it. I really haven't figured out how to get files on Facebook yet. Maybe I can put a comment or something with all the questions. If you don't have your group, if you don't know if they're meeting, if you don't have Zoom or Duo or something like that, then you can discuss these questions further about Daniel. But really, I've got a really concise message today, and I'm going to end in prayer here, and then we're going to go right into our congregational meeting. So let's bow. Lord, I ask that you would fully give us the gifts of the Spirit, teaching, preaching, prophecy, tongues, all of those, Lord. We earnestly seek for those. But we earnestly seek for those for the betterment of your kingdom, the application of truth, the application of love, be that building up or pruning, which is really building up. That our roots would grow down so that our branches can grow up in you, Lord, and bless everyone around us. As long as our focus, be it personally and publicly, is on you. In Jesus' name, amen.